now, Moving the Chains. Here are your hosts, Tim Ryan and Pat Kerwin.
Roll that up, Zach Attack.
My hair was long.
Modern Motown.
Caught somewhere between a boy and man.
We made an exception today.
She was 17.
Our head coach, buddy,
like
Kid Rock.
It was summertime in northern Michigan.
Tim and Pat with you on a Wednesday, Moving the Chains, Sirius NFL Radio. Very happy to bring in our next guest, head coach of the Detroit Lions, Jimmy Schwartz, joining us on the program. What's up, Jim?
You know, I'm driving down to the Combine, just pulling through Toledo, Ohio, and I heard it was Motown Wednesday, so I figured what better day to call in.
Thank you very much, Jimmy.
You're awesome. You're awesome, bro. How you doing? How's the offseason going? Talk about it.
Hey, you play Kid Rock, you'll give me a call just about every day. That's true. You know, people in Detroit never really forgave Barry Gordy for moving operation out to Los Angeles. Kid Rock still in attendance in Detroit, and he's not planning on going anywhere. So I think that's cool.
Awesome.
That is cool. The loyal soldier to the city. And you know what? You're a second loyal soldier. You're getting excited about your team and the future and the plan? Because I think driving down the Combine, you guys have to be talking about what's lying ahead for you and what the potential is to get the kind of players you need.
Yeah, you know, this time of the year is always exciting because, you know, you have free agency, even though maybe it's a little different free agency this year than in years past. You know, and then you have the draft. And last year, we drafted five guys that started as rookies out of our draft. We need to have another good draft this year and keep adding places. I mean, free agency can help you, but the good teams from year to year draft well. And, you know, I think that's our charge. We haven't drafted well in the past. Last year we changed that a little bit, and we just need to continue it.
Yeah, terrific draft for you guys last year, Jim. Had a lot of rookies that certainly started and contributed. Hey, you said something about the difference in the world of free agents because of the uncapped environment that I think we're all heading to. Talk about that as, you know, obviously you said it, you want to build through the draft, but you could certainly season up with some guys that are in their fourth and fifth year, core players that are ready to get their second contracts and ready to play their best football. Talk about the challenges of trying to build a football team when we have so many guys that should be unrestricted that are restricted in free agency.
Well, it's definitely a little bit different because, you know, you're looking mainly at guys now that are on their third contract, guys that are, you know, 6 years and more, and almost everybody in free agency is going to be 30 years old or longer. And, you know, you can fill holes that way, but you have a hard time, you know, building for the long haul that way. And, you know, I think that, you know, it just puts more of an emphasis on the draft. It puts more of an emphasis on making good decisions. And even in free agency, you know, you just have to be sure that the players that you're getting are players that really fit exactly what you want them to do. And you have a very specific role in mind for them because they may not have a whole lot of career left in front of them. So you need to make sure they're the right guy and you're going to get a lot out of them in maybe the little bit of time that you have with them.
There it is. Let's talk about the long-range plans, the draft picks. For the listeners first, you have a first, a second, a third, a fourth, two fifths, and a sixth. With that being said, here's what we've been saying. Shoot a hole in it if we're wrong. We think, barring some exceptional change of events in the draft, that you guys are going to look at the defense fairly early in this draft.
Well, you know, I think the important thing there is not to make up your mind before, you know, everything happens. Last year, we did that with Matt Stafford. You know, we liked him going into the combine last year, but we didn't make up our mind before the combine, before his personal workout day, all those different things. You sort of took the information as it came, and, you know, I mean, there's some good defensive players in this draft, but I think that the important thing is for us to keep an open mind, weigh all the information, you know, don't ignore any of it, don't make up your mind right away that, hey, you're taking this position or this player, and then ignore maybe, you know, physical information, doctor's reports, workout information, you know, all those kind of things. So, you know, last year I thought we did a good job of taking the best players we had on the board. I thought we got the best quarterback in the draft, best tight end in the draft, best safety in the draft. We ended up with a really good linebacker in the third round and a starting defensive tackle in the fourth. And before the draft, we never really mapped out and said, we want these positions. We said we want to get good players and players that fit our scheme and our philosophy. And when we did that, we made good decisions. So you know, if that happens and we help the defense, I'm all for that. You know, I'm a defensive guy. It was hard to watch some of our defense last year.
Jimmy, and having said that, I would think it is like last year, other than quarterback. I mean, you guys got so many needs that it really is about being fluid with the evaluation process and taking the best prospect on the board, probably where you're picking.
Yeah, I think we got the quarterback thing right last year, so
yes.
We're probably not going to be spending a lot of time whining and dining quarterbacks at this year's combine. But, you know, other than that, you know, I think every year you look that way at the draft. I mean, there's some positions that, you know, you feel good about, but if you build a team for the long haul, you always have to take talent on the draft board. And, you know, the times that you start reaching for need are times that you probably end up making, you know, maybe you make yourself a little more susceptible to making questionable decisions.
Jimmy, I'll ask you this question. I think I know the answer. We've talked about it before, but you're picking at number two. I was involved with a couple of drafts where we were picking one and or two. You almost have to entertain anyone that calls you, want to talk about moving in and out of your spot. You could justify it by needs and maybe by what you come to believe is the depth in the draft. Will you take some calls, and would you entertain that prospect of moving around if the deal was right?
Oh, sure. You know, that was the same thing, you know, last year. You're never going to, you know, turn your back on that, you know, on that phone call. You never know how it's going to work out. I think any speculation there is probably way too early because, you know, like I said, the race really hasn't even been run yet. These players haven't gone through, you know, their physicals, their workouts, their, you know, all the testing that happens and things like that. So anybody that's going to move, you know, they're going to move after all that stuff is done and they have players that they like on the board and things like that. So, you know, I think more trades probably happen when a team's on the clock and a team knows what player they're going up to get. But, you know, we've said this a bunch of times. Any way we can help this team, we're open to. And, you know, we're not trying to, you know, do it one way or do it another. We're just saying, hey, look, if it helps our team, you know, we can do it. And, you know, we just sort of let that be our guiding principle.
Jimmy, elaborate a little bit on Matthew Stafford and his year last year with the 10 starts. Obviously, injuries played a role, and I think injuries to other members of the offense played a role, in particular Calvin, and could really never seem to get on the same page. There was times where Matt looked terrific, a lot of other times where he obviously just looked like a rookie. How's his rehab going, and just put his season in 09 in a capsule for us in your mind?
Well, he's fine. You know, he had – his surgeries were – cleanup, or his surgery, his knee was just a little cleanup. There was nothing that was reconstructive or anything about it. He walked out of the operating room, so that's not a concern. And his left shoulder didn't require any surgery or anything like that. It just needed a little bit of rest. So physically, he's fine. You know, and I think we saw in his rookie year the kind of player he's going to be. You know, we need to do a better job of putting some other players around him to take the pressure off them a little, you know, a little bit. We saw when, you know, you have him and a healthy Calvin Johnson on the field at the same time, you know, what that could do. We really never got a healthy Kevin Smith on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hurt his shoulder in the third game of the year and I went over the Redskins and then sort of battled that and then got his ATL at the end of the year. Most of Matt's mistakes came from being too aggressive, and we were in a situation where we had to do that. Because, you know, when it was third down and 15 for us, we couldn't afford to hand the ball off on a draw or throw a screen pass, you know, and not make a mistake throwing the ball down the field because, you know, we needed to, you know, we didn't have enough firepower to pass any opportunity. So he made some mistakes in those situations and then also being down in the fourth quarter. And you put any quarterback, rookie, veteran quarterback in those situations, third down and long, and then fourth quarter being down two scores where you have to push the ball down the fourth field. You can't make good decisions when you're down two scores in the fourth quarter. You have to take chances. And that's where most of his, you know, his interceptions came from. So, you know, if we do a better job of playing defense and we're not down in the fourth quarter, we do a better job of running the football and those kind of things so we don't have third down and extra long, I think you'll see, you know, a lot more production out of Matt.
The comment was made, this is for our listeners, that you can really help them understand what you want out of the combine experience. I remember Bill Cowher and I sitting talking about a month ago, and he said, because I asked him the question I'm asking you. I said, what were you really trying to get out of the combine? And he said a couple of times, I was in the middle of an interview, and I turned to the guy next to me and said, I'll never want to coach this guy. You know, how much do you get done there? How important is the interview to you? Do you eyeball these guys up, and what do you take out of it, the whole experience, with as you follow players around for the next 5 or 6 days?
Well, I think the important thing with that is that the combine stands alone. You know, it is what it is, and you don't make a decision just based on how a guy interviews or how a guy works out. It's all sort of evidence that's introduced into court, you know, and you can't ignore any of it. So, you know, you don't take a player that works out really well that doesn't have good tape, and you don't take a player that, you know, has really good tape that, you know, has a really poor workout or, you know, a bad physical or really bad interview. The hardest thing with the interviews is that you only have 15 minutes. There's people blowing horns and moving them to the next interview. It's like speed dating. And I think the one thing, I've never been speed dating, but I can imagine that, you know, on the extreme, the ones that you really like and the ones that you don't like, that happens pretty quickly. The other ones you need a lot more work on. And I think what happens with us, our scouts have been out and doing a great job for last 9 months on this draft. They already have a lot of opinions and a lot of information on these players. A lot of times you can give them sort of an amen on what they've already thought of a player in a 15-minute interview. The ones that you really need to do more work on and go to the campus or bring that player to your city are players that you have difference of opinion. You know, maybe the scouts really like the guy and you didn't get some questions in his 15-minute interview, or the vice versa. You know, the scout really had some questions and you sort of warmed up to him. It just lets you know, that you need to do some more work. So, you know, if you just take every bit of information, treat it all as valuable, and don't ignore any of it, don't put too much emphasis on any one little thing, I think you'll make good decisions.
Jim Schwartz with us on the program, head coach of the Detroit Lions. Jimmy, I've told you a couple of times when we've done your games on Sundays that our producer loves you, our director loves you. They say you're great for television. And, boy, look at the look on Jimmy's face. And, boy, he's pissed. And, boy, that's venom. And, boy, he look at him get his guys and – doing the right thing. And then I also know, and I know how you are, but it was, I don't know, a month or two ago, I thought I read something where you said, you know, I got to control my anger a little bit better if I'm going to be the coach that I need to be. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's just that the coaches I admire the most are guys that are very even-keeled and guys that, you know, I mean, you don't see Bill Belichick's demeanor change a whole lot during the game. You don't see Tony Dungy's demeanor change a whole lot during the game. You mentioned Bill Cowher before. Bill Cowher was very fiery, but he was always that way. And I think that, you know, when we have this team the way that we want it, you know, you'll see a lot less of me, because my coaching really occurs during the week and making sure that our coaches are on the same page and we're getting out of them what we want, and the players are, you know, being put into positions, and we're putting the best players are in those positions. So, you know, I admire those Tom Landrys and people like that. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be that way this year. And honestly,
I don't know if that linebacker, that picture, that guy I saw with those big old biceps, I don't know if that guy's capable of being that way.
Well, I mean, you know, and I think another important thing is you just don't think about the way you are on the sideline. I think if you do it with your personality, then the players can accept it, whether you're a real fiery guy or whether you're a real calm guy. You know, I was very, very calm when I was defense coordinator in Tennessee. I very rarely was animated. I was thinking of the next call and doing those things. We had a really, really good football team. And I think that, like I said, my blood pressure will go down quite a bit. We put some more good players on this football team. My heart surgeon will be, or my heart doctor will be a lot happier. My Lipitor and everything else will go down quite a bit, and I'll be feeling a lot better.
Oh, you're outrageous! Driving in your car down there. Why didn't you fly down?
You know, I got about a four and a half hour drive down there. The weather gets bad up here. You know, it was snowing when I left Detroit. I've been caught in, you know, and we were caught down the Senior Bowl and had a hard time getting out of there. So you know. The 3 or 4 hour drive, I listen to NFL Sirius Radio, and and the ride goes a lot faster.
And we know your guy, Bill. He packs a lot of snacks.
You must have sandwiches for days, probably to get you to and back from India, to
yeah,
and from.
You know, I was listening to that commercial y'all had for that smoothie or something. I was like, man, I need to do that, because one of the reasons I called in is it just keeps me from thinking of food when I'm driving. I'm like Homer Simpson, you know, don't think about food, don't think about food, don't think about food, ooh, donuts. You know, and then my car just finds those truck stops on the way down. That's a big danger of driving.
Hey, Jimmy, good stuff, man. Appreciate your time. We thank you for calling in and for listening, and we'll see you this weekend in Indy.
All right, fellas. Talk to you soon.